Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Forrest Stevens Show. And I realize that I feel like I haven't explained who I am to you. I think that's because I just haven't been communicating regularly with you. And I think that I have changed. I've changed as an individual. So if you know me from some other time, I'm a different person now. And I think that is I think that's true basically daily for anybody. And even still, you probably can't know that person. Even if you talk to somebody even if I was to do a daily podcast for an hour, you still wouldn't really know me because you're not me. And no one can be me except for me because that's reality. As far as I know it, as far as I understand it, I don't think there's any loop. I don't think there's any way around that. I think that we are living our own experiences only, even when it's a shared experience with somebody else, because they're perceiving it in a different way. So with all of that disclaimer, I am different. How am I different? How am I different from... How am I different from what? I suppose is the question. I feel like I started this podcast under a completely different name. I feel like I've switched up what I spend my time creating so much. And I think that the different names that I've had for this podcast have been in their way different than how it is now. So this podcast here that you're listening to started as What I Learned From, which the whole concept was to talk to somebody specifically with a skill and or an experience that's of something they did. You know, like even a writer could say, you know, the title, this was all based around basically having good subjects for podcasts. And so I could have a writer on that and title it basically What I Learned From Writing a Book, What I Learned From Being an Extra in a Movie, What I Learned From Directing a Movie, What I Learned From Whatever, you know, this is big and small in those worlds and many others. The idea was to talk to all sorts of different types of people and not to make it about one subject as so many podcasts are, but have that thorough line of the What I Learned From. And I still think that's an excellent idea for a podcast. So anybody out there that thinks that's a good idea too and has the drive and want to do that, then that'd be cool. Do that. But I think a lot of podcasts out there do that, but they don't call it that. They don't. It's different. And maybe they only do it for a certain amount of time because it can only be so successful as well, or for so successful for them at least, because they've chosen to do something else with their time. Like, we got to realize that everybody's time is better spent doing different things, right? So if a person of a certain net worth does a podcast, it's got to be worth it for them to do it. If it's not, then they're probably going to stop doing it. And I think that, podcasts are a way to make a lot of money for the amount of time that it takes somebody to be in a podcast, right? It's an hour on the radio, basically, once a week. That isn't crazy for a lot of people to be able to do that, to have that extra day in a week. And it probably includes that amount of preparation. I mean, it depends on the level you're at. Depends how many producers you have for your podcast. It depends on so many different things. So with all of that said, I don't even know how I got in there, but... maybe a side hop from that, how it relates to me is that it's just me doing this podcast, and I've chosen to do different podcasts, but they've always just been me. They've always just been me. I've never, you know, the most I've hired out was I got contract work for somebody to basically go through the descriptions of a bunch of different podcasts, and then they would come up with people that related to certain subjects that I gave them. So if there were people that talked about certain things that I wanted my podcast to be about, at the time I was doing this, it was the podcast Tripping, which was the last iteration of the name of this podcast. And that was basically to have people on to tell interesting stories that go beyond just the normal experience in life, I suppose. And I talked to a lot of people that took psychedelics or, you know, but the idea was to talk to people of all kinds. It's just that idea fell apart because of the same reason that all of my podcasts leading up to this one have fallen apart, but yet I keep doing it, and I'll get to the keep doing it later. But why they keep falling apart is because they become, I begin to realize that I'm not the right person to do those, or this isn't the right thing for me to do with my time at this time. Right? And something has to be providing value in some way. And those podcasts were not providing it in a monetary way, but there's something beyond a monetary reason, or at least a short-term monetary reason. Even with this podcast, I do have this far-term monetary idea that is different than the short-term. Like, I think that down the road, this could provide me with income, and this could be a profitable thing to be doing with my time right now, even though right now, in a short-term, it might not be. So there is that, but that there's something else as well that's not monetary, right? Not everything in this world happens because of monetary reasons. There's a feeling of wanting to express myself this way. There's a feeling of wanting to have these conversations with people. There's a feeling of wanting to have these thoughts out to the world. Right now, this isn't a conversation. This is my thoughts. And they're as quick as they are in my brain, they are out and spoken to this microphone and sound recorder. There is no space in between those thoughts that I'm speaking right now. I'm not thinking about anything else as I think and express. That's taking up my entire mental capacity to even do. And when that happens, it's a powerful experience. It's euphoric to have done something that you're proud of. And when I finish a podcast like this, and I do a podcast like this, or I've done podcasts in the past, and once again, this is all to do with how I'm doing as a person. I'm getting tripped up here. I'm starting to have the thoughts in between what is going on in my brain. So there's always a reason I come back to this. And it's because it's healing for me as well. I find when I express myself, and I find it healing, and I find it educational as well. So the healing part is when I express myself, and when I have a good conversation, there's something extremely healing. It's the feeling, it really heals that part of me that feels like I'm not alone. Like I think there's a deep part in all of us that fears that we are alone as who we are. You know, our experience, like I said, you know, I think in the beginning of this podcast, is there is no true shared experience. It's always different for every single person, and every moment is different. So that actually feels very lonely. It feels very lonely when you get to feeling so different. So doing this, that alleviates that feeling a little bit. And I think it is true. I think there are people like me. I think there are people that are, they're not having the exact same experience as me. We are all having our individual experience, but they're having a very similar experience than me. And that makes me happy, which is an interesting thing. Like, I don't know if that's how everybody feels, but I wonder if that's how a lot of us feel. I feel like that. I feel like, it's not that I want like a bunch of people running around that are like mini-me's, that are like the same as me. It's just that it makes me happy to think that there are people out there that are like me. And that's because I feel like I'm a good person. And I think that a world with more people like me would be good. And that's... And I'm not trying to create more people like that. I'm just trying to reach people out there that are like that. I'm, you know, and, when I have conversations with people on here, that's ultimately what I'm looking for as well, is some sort of connection. Some sort of connection that feels interesting and also to learn. You know, there's a whole extra side thing that I don't necessarily need connection when I talk to somebody. But when you have a good conversation, you inevitably connect on a level that is very deep. I don't know but about you guys, but some of the greatest experiences of my entire life, and although they not may not be, some of them are, but not all of them are imprinted into my brain as this is a fantastic conversation. But as they're happening, a good conversation is better than anything else I've experienced. A genuinely good conversation, two people being 100% themselves, or maybe not even 100% themselves, but really trying to be themselves in the moment, and whatever that means, I mean, that is just incredible. Like, you have that with anybody and you're just like fucking high for days. I mean, not really, because time just passes so quickly, but it is an endorphin feeling. It's a feeling of joy. It's a feeling of happiness when you feel connected in that way, in a very good conversation or a very good act with another person. Yeah, so that's, you know, that's how I feel, right? And I feel that way, and I think that, you know, that breeds a, that would breed a community of people that are similar in the way where they support each other, and they are just themselves. They're not supporting each other because they think that's the right thing to do. They're doing that because that's who they are. They're also themselves, you know, whatever that means in the moment. So yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, because I think that as you grow older, you inevitably begin to realize these things, and some people will realize them earlier than others. There's a huge part of me that wants to find my crowd, you know. I think that comes from a space of feeling like an in-betweener, you know, a lot of my life. When I first went to, I mean, I went to a private school until I was in grade 8. And it allowed a lot of freedom of expression and freedom of who you were. I think a lot more than the public system does. And that's just because it was a smaller school, and it allowed creative expression a lot. And anyway, so when I was in grade 9, I went to public school for the first time, and there was a lot more people, and there were I didn't know anybody. And when you're in grade 9, you're just, well, at least I was. I was I just, you know, started to kind of figure out, I guess, who I could become friends with. And I did continue to be myself, but I found other people that I think we're also in that same world, or not the same world, and definitely not the same world exactly, but they were kind of a little outside themselves. And we all were able to go wherever we wanted. We could bounce between all different groups of other kids, you know, all other friend groups, basically, in my school. You know, in the grades, there's a separation that happens in schools that's so weird. It's like grade by grade, but then there's all these other people walking past you that you might not even interact with, just because you only see them basically in the hallways and after. I mean, I don't know, it's very interesting. I mean, yeah, you don't see them all the time, right? Like you do with the people that you're in classes with. So it creates like a just this ecosystem where you have to you have to survive, right? I mean, you have to do your best. And for me, not having been in that system, and, you know, I don't know, maybe it was that system, like the private school I went to, the graduating class I graduated with was like 6 kids or something. Like, it was so small, and it, like, we had desks and we had classrooms, and the classrooms had chalkboards, and but it never felt official. It felt like anything could happen, like we could do anything, really. It didn't feel very structured. It felt very loose. And classrooms in a public school feel a lot more like a jail cell, or like a, or like when you accidentally get involved in like an MLM and you end up in like some room of like a hotel, and they're talking about how you can make money, and you're just like, and you're all sitting there in chairs, and there's somebody at the front, and, you know, it felt like that, but more academic and more controlled than that as well. It felt more controlled than that sales pitch. But, and I think, so it's a mix between those two things, the prison and the MLM meeting. Very sorry about the audio quality of this episode. You know, I talk about not having a producer in this episode, and that is evident when you hear sound like that. I'm sure it's scratchy as hell. This is how I want it to sound, this microphone here. But what you're about to listen to is not, and I'm very disappointed in that. But hopefully, I mean, yeah, there was a part in that podcast where I talked about how powerful podcasts are for me to do, and how they make me feel elated after, because I feel very proud of them. And I feel very proud of this podcast, but the producing of it, I feel very not proud of. So I'm very sorry about the audio. I will make sure that doesn't happen again down the road. That is a mistake that I have learned from, hopefully. Thank you all for your continued listenership. There's kind of this idea out there in the world that conservatives are assholes and liberals are pussies. And that totally encapsulates it, but to get more into it so that you actually understand what I'm talking about. Those two, that can't be possible. You cannot, if you put a whole group together of people, if you label every single conservative, you cannot say that those people are assholes or that they're pussies. You cannot say anything about who they are. Not really. If you can get statistics, oh, these people want, like, they're pro this, they're pro that, they're anti this, they're anti that. But that doesn't tell you who those people are. Those people could just have fears about certain things over another. And those people could have, you know, those people are individuals, right? So you just can't account on every single other person in a group, any group, to be something that they're not, right? Everybody is only what they are. And I think that it's very interesting. So the reason I brought that up is because there's, in like media, it's just like, you know, a conservative person is just like aggressive, redneck, like all these things that are basically conjuring the idea of an asshole, right? Somebody that's going to confront you, somebody that wants to shoot their gun, somebody that doesn't want you to do something. And then the opposite side of that is liberals are pussies, which is they don't speak up for themselves, they're not going to take action, you know, they're going to lie, you know, all of these, like, kind of things to just get away from actually dealing with something. And neither of those things are true, right? Like, that isn't a way that you can define a group of people. Like, everybody is different. Everybody is liberal in certain things and conservative in others when you define conservative and liberal as only ideologies. But you also have to get into the specific things. Why is one thing liberal and one thing conservative? And that splits people up, too. So I guess what I'm getting at is, like, we have a political system. It does not account for everybody.
there can be no two party, there can be no five party, that really truly account for everybody and what they actually want. There's no one else. You can't offload the responsibility of the government to anyone else. Somebody ends up having to do that job. That's something that we just offload onto somebody else. And people want that because they can make money and they know that basically they don't have to do anything anyway, because the tasks that people actually want done are too big for any government to do. They're ridiculous tasks. We cannot do that while maintaining what you currently have. I mean, it's the reason that the U.S. gets another trillion of debt added to its total gross debt, just quicker than anyone else, is because they want to maintain what they have while continuing to create more, when there's nobody wanting anything else right now. We have to chill. Like, we cannot just create shit. I mean, what is the point just wasting money, right? It's just crazy. I mean, nobody wants another war. I mean, maybe Russia attacked Ukraine because they said, hey, U.S., you guys are actually going to be fine. And maybe we can do this now. You know, like, maybe they saw a potential weakness in the reality of America's financials. And Putin says, hey, this land here, this territory, these people are more my reach globally in this old man earth is more valuable than, you know, all the other things that he gave up to do that, to invade a country, which is just an insane thing to do. Why the fuck would you ever invade a country? Why should anybody have the power to invade a country? Why should anybody have a military? That's insane. Think about somebody has a military. What is a military but a bunch of goons with guns? And they are just like, yeah, we'll do whatever you want. Just pay us a bit of money. And we'll sacrifice our lives for whatever this is. Whatever this government is this year. The government du jour. And, you know, it's beyond the government, right? People that really have faith in the system, they have to have faith in the nation. They have to have faith in a country. And they have to think that, and behind that country has to be something. Some values, right? It all comes back to these values. And it's just like, whoa, why do we care what other people value? Like, if somebody's being an asshole, you don't hang around with them. You don't help them anymore. You cut that out of your life. If somebody's being a pussy, you tell them that. And if they're not able to get courageous in a time that is fitting to where they are, but are they willing to try? Like, if somebody's afraid, I'm very afraid. Everybody's very afraid. We're all very afraid of something and some things in this life, because life is crazy. We do not have the answers for everything. So it is reasonable to be afraid. Not have fear is a silly notion. We cannot escape fear. We have to face fear. And it's not an instant thing. You don't immediately have to face fear. It's a, are you trying to face your fears? Is there progress in who you are as a person? That's the only thing that I care about the people around me, is am I seeing somebody change? Am I able to change? When that person is in my life, am I able to grow? Are they growing? Are they trying? Trying is the root of everything that you do in form. And you can get down even deeper. Maybe that's just built into your programming of when you're born. But you know, I don't. If you know, I don't, and I don't think anybody does. We don't know if we have free will or not. We don't know if the act of trying is just predestined. There is science pointing in whichever way possible, because it's people theorizing about things. And that's basically the root of everyone's life too, is your life is based on what you believe, what ideas you have implanted into your brain, and what position you're in, and where you are in life, who you are in life, and what you do, ultimately. So it all boils down to that. It all boils down to what you do. And I think that putting responsibility onto others that are not fit for the job is not the right thing to do. I think we need to support the things that we believe in as individuals.